Blog Talk Radio.
I'm just going to read from chapter 2, which introduces what it is, what the Toltec path is. Places in time and places in mind. Like much of the Toltec way, its history resembles a herd of cows. You know it's there, but the forms keep shifting around. Maybe this is due to its oral tradition or handing down bits and pieces of its past. Maybe its history has been intended only to serve liberating people in the present, and so almost anything goes. But whatever the situation has been, the continuity Castaneda started with his books now offers everyone a standard reference to one of its lineages. Julian prepared Don Juan for the assignment of grooming Castaneda, and as a result, Castaneda's books, Julian required that Don Juan read and study because someday he would be called upon to explain Toltecs in their way. Now, Julian was the master, was Don Juan Mattis's master. As such a teacher, Don Juan personifies thousands of years of an evolving system intended to break the shackles of ignorance. Don Juan lived his knowledge. Like a top-notch scientist, he learned to remain an unbiased, passive observer, knowing that the quirks of his own nature influenced wherever he perceived. This stance of participatory story Non-Attachment reflects a major turn in Toltec history. Its inclusion in their toolkits heralded an evolutionary leap, a leap he called the New Cycle. While fulfilling his task, Don Juan often commented to Castaneda on Toltec history. Castaneda's books, particularly The Fire from Within and The Power of Silence, contain many of these insights. For example, he told Castaneda that one of the core features creating the new cycle of seers was the addition of the knowledge that something exists beyond human perception, a complete unknowable. But until this point, Toltecs reckoned that all elements of the universe could be reduced to and included in that which can be known. They hadn't counted on having to come to grips with something greater than their perception. As you'll discover later, this arrogance highlighted their downfall. The brand of Toltec history presented here is not currently found in the encyclopedias. Don Juan defines Toltecs as people of knowledge. Yet he recognizes a connection with at least a strain of the cultures known as Toltec, Mayan, Aztec, and other Central American peoples. The difference is that the non-ordinary practices of Toltecs place them outside many of the currents of mainstream society, and most reference books offer versions of history that reflect mainstream views. While Toltecs are often ingrained within a culture by, for example, offering their wares in a marketplace, their overall worldview and behavior place them outside most cultural endeavors. To avoid wishful thinking and a conjuring of history, Don Juan always charges his students to verify his words for themselves. He also indicates that seeing is an advantageous way to do this. And, for example, a few years ago, I actively studied Toltec history. Following his advice, in order to see certain periods, I used the thoughts and feelings I had about the time for an initial reference. Before seeing, however, I entered dreaming. I did so because I had verified his teaching that dreaming reduces the strain of pushing harder at perceptual boundaries. Once in dreaming, I focused my thoughts on the destruction of the Toltec world, the Indian Wars, the Spanish Inquisition, and the resulting changes. These formed into what felt like cubes of energy, one inside another. My feelings about Mexico, Don Juan's struggles, and the new cycle added flavor and a texture within the boxes. This, though, was merely the setup, a preparation. Real work began when I engaged seeing. My thoughts and feelings often changed into something unexpected. At first, I expected to see Toltecs engaged in ritualistic magic. Instead, I saw constellations of thought. It was like having the energy of a history book tumble toward me, then break like a wave over and through me. My preliminary thoughts did, however, help me latch onto a specific intent. By directing my intent into each box, I perceived mental pictures and gestalts of intuitive energy, which created a remembrance. Boxes within boxes then appeared, each one delving further back through time. The boxes remained loosely connected as they telescoped into history. I then saw actual scenes of marketplace activities, of wars, and of Toltecs' renewed deliberations. Through thoughts and feelings bias all perception, and seeing is not exempt. It requires tuning, and while we're all familiar with the occasional odd feeling or jittery edge off after someone says something, perhaps what was said just doesn't feel right. In a similar manner, thoughts and feelings influence seeing. They either enhance or detract from what is perceived. Excuse me. With practice, discipline, and an unbiased attitude, however, seeing provides increasingly accurate and direct information. Used well, seeing can take you beyond the thoughts which create the box and the box from which you view your world. Since I have a natural curiosity about my lineage, using dreaming and seeing to explore it is enjoyable. For a seer's perspective, using non-ordinary perception to obtain and verify knowledge is no different than a scientist using professional journals and a laboratory to acquire knowledge. In this light, I offer the following viewpoints regarding Toltec history. Please keep in mind that what I refer to as the second cycle, Don Juan refers to as the old cycle, and what I refer to as the third cycle, Don Juan calls the new cycle. Each cycle has its own energy. Don Juan states that periods of history determine how and what humans perceive. He refers to this as the modality of the time. And the modality of time is a package of energy fields generated by the ego's emanations, which shape our perception. Excuse me. I have to have some water here. Well, as I started to research this book, I found myself constantly edging toward some kind of revelation, and that revelation being, can I become this? Can I do this? And of course, that the book is rather self-explanatory, but it leaves a lot of the discipline out. And as you try to do some of these things, or as you try to understand the concepts, it becomes apparent that you that these are methods of transcending dimensions, time, space, and their dimensional existence. And they talk about this, and they talk how they jump into different realities, different dimensions continually as part of the practice and dreaming. Okay, of course. And of course, we must remember that the Toltecs were sorcerers. This is a study in sorcery, if you will. However, what I like about Ken Eaglefeather is that he explains this not in the sense of a black magic or evil or whatever, but as a path chosen by these people to reach the highest levels of consciousness, to reach consciousness, and the levels are quite how can I say, they're quite simple, actually. You get the first cycle, second cycle, and third cycle, right? And believe it or not, the fourth cycle, which was brought in through the use of marijuana or through the use of other drugs, stimulants, or drugs, peyote, that kind of thing. And which is what actually raised the consciousness of this book. Many people, these books were, or these works of Castaneda, were very, very popular in the 60s and 70s. Actually, I believe in the early 70s. That's when I was introduced to them originally. But for some reason, I think I mentioned this in one of my previous shows, but my introduction was one of fear, in a way. Because it was presented as a book of sorcery, I was still dealing with this back when I was in my late teens and early 20s. I was still dealing with this paradox, if you will, of good and evil. We fight this all our lives, but this dichotomy that exists within within our bipolar existence, threw me, guarded me for some reason to stay away from this mystical avenue. But I believe it was because of the way it was presented, not originally presented and pushed and marketed, which turned me off. The covers and stuff, there was just something there that I didn't want to delve into at the time. But as I started to read Christian theologians and Muslim theorists and Buddhists' teachings and so on, I started to see how they were all just pathways, you know, basically they were all pathways of enlightenment. And as I started to read about the Toltecs, I started to understand that they too are a pathway to enlightenment. Only they don't claim it to be sacred. They state that it only leads you to see the sacred, okay, rather than is sacred. It's they explain there are many pitfalls, and the entire Mayan civilizations and Aztec and Toltec civilizations who were destroyed due to the influences of, you know, the Inquisition and so on and so forth, but more so to the powers by the elite who study sorcery. They are elite priests and so on, were sorcerers, and, you know, acquiring personal power. What happens in this particular text, and what happens as I read Eagle Feather and Castaneda as well, but I understood for the first time through this book the pathway, as opposed to being turned off to it, you know, because of, you know, negative influences. But this in itself, Don Juan's teaching to Castaneda, as well as to Eagle Feather, okay, is that he states that this is the new cycle, okay, is the cycle that the old Toltecs, okay, didn't understand. Didn't work with, didn't try to, didn't understand unity consciousness. They didn't understand collective consciousness, or I shouldn't say that. They didn't understand the compassion needed to lead, you know, to lead a civilization or society into a brighter, more positive, more enlightened future. Instead, what happened is they used their magic, if you will, of defense. And of course, they were conquered, and they were considered demons and devils by the Catholic Church, and of course, in the Spanish Inquisition. So on, but in the Cortez and others, as they came over and destroyed these civilizations, it was part and parcel prophesized by them. And Don Juan, it was a modern day Toltec. Warns against this method that was used, and states that you must, in order to do this, to be a Toltec, which is a remarkable religion, concept. You must rid yourself of all religious, you know, interactions and what's right and what's wrong and all of this, and open your mind to the understanding that this is just another pathway, okay, to enlightenment. And he and others have reached that enlightenment, and it's an apprenticeship. It's a lifelong study, you know. And He says that, please keep in mind that what I refer to as the second cycle, Don Juan refers to as the old cycle. And what I refer to as the third cycle, Don Juan calls the new cycle. And each cycle has its own energy. Don Juan states that the period of history determines how and what humans perceive. I just read this, I know, but I wanted to read it again. Then he goes on to say that this is the first cycle. The first cycle was the most primitive period. There was no sophistication of thought, no approach to the world other than through the beginning of myth. And yet the stirring of a new relation to the world edged forth. And somehow a split occurred within awareness from which the recognition subject-object relationship is developed. This is an individual sense of separateness from others and from the world manifested. A sense of innocence was lost, and humans were no longer instinctively part of the world. In this book, The Origins of Consciousness and the Breakdown of the Bicameral Mind, Julian Jaynes addresses the shift in consciousness. As people sensed their loss of union, rituals were born. Rituals connected people with their visions of God and the spirits, and were deemed to exist beyond the human world. This first indication of another order occurred as their thoughts and rituals became more detailed, organized, and shared. The second cycle is the complexity ushered in the second cycle. Rituals became so elaborate that it seemed the goal was to develop intricacy rather than to explore perception. As they became lost in their grandiose schemes, their fabricated sense of invincibility became the tragedy of the second cycle Toltecs. This sense was laden with competition and self-importance. One of the most observable features of this cycle was that we typically think of as sorcery, the use of personal power to manipulate people and things. In the marketplace, sorcerers innocuously sold potions to add lovemaking remedies for healing and psychic readings for advice. But behind the scenes, sorcerers fiercely competed to accumulate powers that eventually turned one against another. And furthermore, rituals were seen as the source of power rather than as supportive agents for focusing awareness. And balance of self and of craft were shunned. Emphasis rested on manipulating their physical bodies into non-human forms, or seeking personal glories by summoning creatures from beyond this world and holding sway over others. These Toltecs did, however, push through barriers and expand awareness into unequal dimensions. Perhaps the best indication of this expansion resulted in what Don Juan called the death defiers. Toltecs gained the ability to remove their physical bodies from the physical world and fully place their awareness in other dimensions. This feat remains a part of Toltec tradition, and indeed Castaneda, doing so, marked the end of his apprenticeship. After he hurled himself off a cliff, his physical awareness dissipated as he vanished into thin air. He says his perception then restabilized in other dimensions, and days later he returned to physical awareness. The second cycle was also a time when Toltecs were entwined with society. People did not think twice about witnessing marvels, such as someone jumping as high as the treetops, or tossing boulders in a Herculean manner. On the high side was raw adventure. On the low side, Toltecs' relation to people and to the world in general deteriorated. Don Juan says the second cycle is 10,000 years old, and its practitioners ruled central Mexico between 7,000 and 3,000 years ago. Although enmeshed within the culture, Toltecs were too caught up in their own affairs. This paradox of being part of society yet oblivious to all except their own machinations, reduced its practitioners in thought and awareness. Even though they thought they saw the big picture, they didn't know the picture at all. They had no fortitude, no real understanding, because they couldn't get past themselves. This left them wide open for obliteration during the Indian War.
Sebastian rediscovered them. And Don Juan says that since 1723,
Lieutenant met Sebastian, portions of those ancient techniques had been passed to a team leader from each generation, thereby establishing the continuity of a specific Toltec line. In a sense, the difference between the second and third cycles is like the difference between the Vietnam and Persian Gulf Wars. In Vietnam, the thinking seemed to be that a massive raw display of power would wipe out the resistance of a small third world country. A missing ingredient was a cohesive strategy, an overall purpose, clearly defined order of engagement, and a national commitment. Vagueness preempted the air, and single-mindedness was the casualty. And learning from the past, the leadership of the Persian Gulf War insisted on painstaking preparation and a well-defined mission. In addition, substantial efforts were made to bring the national will of all Allied forces to bear. The effect was an overwhelming military success. In short, this scenario echoes the conditions for unbending intent. In a similar manner, Toltecs learned from their downfall and produced a more viable energy. Whereas the second cycle aligned behavior and greed and manipulation of power and personal aggrandizement, and the third cycle aligned behavior with more abstract qualities of balance and freedom. They also realized that lack of character and not the practice themselves resulted in the second cycle's destructive accumulation of personal power. The following charts list a few key differences between cycles. In the second cycle, you had the preoccupation with non-ordinary powers. And in the third cycle, in opposition, you had focus on developing perception. Accent on unknown, which was the second cycle. Focus point equates with perception. Enhanced self-importance. You know, you had superegos in the second cycle. And morbid pursuit of power. Imperialism, you know. Increased personal power for show, okay? In other words, these guys were showmen. And control and manipulation. Now, in the third cycle, which is meant as the new cycle, is focus on developing perception, accent on unknowable. Focal point reflects alignment of energies, reduced self-importance, refinement of goals, use personal power to gain further knowledge, and cooperation with the natural order. And that is pretty much that. I mean, there's a number of pages explaining it, but before we go into the fourth cycle, it's human first is a predilection of Toltecs, a dream they share from which other dreams emanate. So, making it possible to handle the immensity of infinite perception, it furnishes a reference point from which to explore. It is a practical tool. So, if we say, like the Toltec selves, we are human first. So, if they had to define their existence or they got too far out, you know, in their meditations or their powers, they said that they were human first, so that humanity should benefit. Humanity should be created this, you know, we're human first, or it was created for humanity, right? So this is their connection. This is their guide post, if you will, to remember always that they were human, okay? And they weren't beyond human. They had capacities as human beings. And we explain later in the book, they talk about what human beings really are. And human beings are essentially a mold. Not like we're molded. Our bodies are a mold. Excuse me. Which carry our spirit, you know. But the problem is that when we come to Earth, and whether we incarnate or reincarnate, we forget, you know. Once we go through the veil, we forget who we were, what we were. But there are things that we know, inherently know, by no other means other than genetic memory, if you will, that we know what's hot, we know what's cold, we know what's right, we know what's wrong, we know what's destructive, we know what's that's non-destructive, we know what hurts, what doesn't hurt. You know, we can hear different tones or music or whatever it may be. But the key to understanding this is knowing, is remembering that it's being human first. That is their continual reference point. Because when you think of what they're doing, what they're capable of, remote viewing, they're capable of extra terrestrial communication, they're used to dream walking. It's not, you know, it's we're walking in a dream state, and using that dream state, manipulating that dream state to the point where it answers your questions, it creates your future, it creates your it's you, you know. It's like having a Merkaba, you know, your own craft. But this is what we must understand. And as the Toltec message is continued by Eagle Feller, he states that we go into this, once we go into this third cycle, which is the unknown, then we have the fourth cycle. And the fourth cycle is one that's generated and created by, you know, the use of power drugs, power plants, as they call it. Part of the Toltec tradition maintains that an aspect of the human condition is that of having energy bodies, and that our initial condition is that of being aware. And this tradition, led by Don Juan, to think that our place in the natural order was simply to learn. This attitude causes an ongoing examination of oneself and of one's relation to society and the world and beyond. Doing so brings to life the fullest potential in each person by building harmony in all spheres of activity. It also provides an orientation to cover the unknown. Otherwise, there is no true learning. There is no repetition and enhancement of what is already known. And when you realize that you are not separate from the world, for example, you create a new reference point. Rather than strive to be an individual, you may find your individuality, by allowing all life to express itself through you. And human first is a predilection of Toltecs, a dream they share from which other dreams emanate. And making it possible to handle the immensity of infinite perception, it furnishes a reference point from which to explore. It is a practical tool. The lesson of not losing themselves in their dream was a hard one, and it is that very discipline which generates evolution. And I believe Don Juan generated much of his consistency from his human first orientation. It was a consistency that helped him effortlessly maintain a delicate balance. And its entirety, the Toltec way, is but one path weaving through infinity, like Zen, Buddhism, Sufism, Taoism, and Allah, and a host of other systems. It requires that to follow it in earnest, you must make it your principal path. This doesn't mean you can't participate with other philosophies. It means that you must fully traverse its corridors in order to go to know it, and then to be able to leave it. And to use its boost, you must use it. And within Toltec corridors, a human-first attitude balances priorities, and it pulls you away from dogma into actual experience. And rather than locking you into self-reflection or simply continuing to validate your own thoughts. It enables you to tap new avenues of information. And while a system may support that endeavor, it cannot by itself generate total freedom. The knowledge gained would always reflect the views within the system. In a more elaborate form of self-reflection, if a system requires de-emphasizing psychic abilities, for example, its adherents will work to do so. As there are skills in handling psychic abilities atrophy, they may well issue decrees that all psychic functioning is fraudulent. And one of the most appealing things about the Toltec way is that it requires its practitioners to take things further, deeper, and wider. The Toltec way simply will not rest within the status quo. And if someone offered you a path better than the one you now travel, would you recognize it? Whether you're a Toltec, a scientist, or a truck driver, the challenge is not to escape into a seemingly secure world of dogma, but to seek knowledge. And part of doing so is understanding that knowledge often fits within the parameters of the method used to claim it. Perhaps this is part of what led Sam Keen, in his book Fire in the Belly, to reflect that we must break free of habitual thinking and define ourselves by our own experience. That's kind of long-winded, but this is hard to explain this because if you're not prepared to hear it, you know, it'll just bounce off your head and you go, what the hell is he talking about? But again, it's like Emerson said, if you're meant to hear this for enlightenment, you will hear it. You'll download, you'll find out what it is, you'll be interested, and it'll catch you and take you on a journey, mental journey, toward reflecting what you have, or who you have as your scientific guru, if you will, you know, or who you have as God. And unless we fulfill that destiny, if you will, that they talk about here, and our destiny is not one of our premeditated plan, you know, our own plans. Destiny is whatever happens to you, whatever is planned to happen to you, and believing in a cosmic plan of action, whether it's death or life or injury or wealth or fame or whatever it is that you are able to conceptualize, all right, then of course you will be able to expedite, you'll be able to take action with, all right? Just as we're doing now. And I see these stages and I understand these stages more and more and more as I repeatedly read them and try to gain the pieces of knowledge that are in these sentences. But I find myself being restricted by my perceptions, okay, by my position, if you will, or my other life, you know, where that prohibits and demands results and demands compensation, demands money, and demands respect, and demands. I don't care, but I mean, it'd be nice to have all of those things, but in the Toltec tradition, which dawned on me today, well, the last few days, but more so today as I reread these passages, that the self-importance, ridding one of self-importance, is the main ingredient, okay, to the Toltec path in order to himself where he actually is, you know, understanding who you are, understanding that you are a prisoner right now in the third dimension, understanding that many, many people are not enlightened, understanding that, you know, you have death and misery and destruction and everything around you. But these are all illusions. These are all deceptions. These are all distractions, right? Because if you believe in the fourth dimensional and hierarchy of existences, right, then once we leave this fourth, this third dimensional state, whether it's through war or malady or illness or whatever, right, we become transformed in the next dimension. We cross over, but yet we are still ourselves, just without our bodies. Okay? Our bodies are left in the third dimension to go back to dust, you know. And essentially, that's what we are. I mean, we were created. Our bodies are created as a mold. It was a mold, they call it. And the light within it is the soul. And the soul is a spirit and is eternal, whereas the body, of course, is not, and must and disintegrates in time, through age and otherwise. What the problem is, when you face something like death, the Toltecs have taken care of, and they said, you can't be afraid of death, right? You can't be afraid of it. Let it come to you. What the hell does it matter, okay? Because you have lived in the spirit, you understand that the world, the natural world, is all the that exists is a hologram, you know, basically. Whereas you are not. You are a living entity, you know. And if you take over a body or reborn or born again, you know, you're here you're here on a mission. You're here to devise, to do something, to create something, or be somewhere, do something that's important, that will affect your karma, okay, and affect your world karma, affect all countries' karma, and every body and every institution and every vision that mankind has created has been allowed, okay, it's allowed. God doesn't censor you. Who censors you? Men censor each other, right? So why is the Toltec religion not, or faith or walk plan, not as well defined or was well known? Or, you know, if you talk to somebody, say, hey, what are you studying? I'm a Toltec, you know, I'm studying Toltecs. Oh, yeah, well, what's that, you know? But that's 99% of the people will ask you that. Not one out of 100 might really surprise you and know something about it. But in my 40 years of research, 35 or so years of research in all of these areas, I never really, I was always averted to this area of research because of the stigma of sorcery that was attached to it, you know, and the malevolence that seemed to go with it. You know, the drugs and this and that and that. But once I started to read it from a different perspective, again, that word perspective, and that I totally developed a different perception of what Toltec faith is and the path, and not only how difficult the path it is to attain, but also what a well thought out, well disciplined, well tying together, you know, of all the conventional religions, okay, essentially mysticism, explaining how it explains the touch that you've had from the divine, you know. You do everything in order to achieve that again, you know, to have that fleeting moment of pure, absolute divinity, you know, where God speaks to you, or God is present in your life, or is present in your physical, is manifested somehow in your physical realm, either through shadow or through image or whatever it may be. But what we are is what the Toltecs say. All that we are is what we are, and based on our Facebook pages or publicity photos or anything, what we are cannot escape for too long from our original selves. Because once, if you can't, and they state this, you cannot abandon yourself. You have to have a relationship with yourself. You can't just go out and abandon, total self-abandon, and say, hey, I'm gonna switch dimensions now and do whatever I want to do and be whatever I want to be, without ramifications, without some kind of karmic ramification. But in the Toltec path, they show you a step-by-step method of how that elation is achieved, okay? And how that physical imprisonment of the body no longer has to be, that you can move wherever you want to go to through teleportation and through other means, and you just, in the higher world, your body is essentially perfect, you know. You'll never have a problem with your body. You know, you won't be overeating, you won't be oversleeping, you won't be over, you know, none of this stuff. And, you know, but you're transforming yourself into that dimension. He also wrote that there were actual civilizations that disappeared in history because they were able to create a collective vision of a fourth dimension, okay, or of another place, otherworldly place, not a worldly place, but an otherworldly place that was so perfect that what happened was is the entire civilization transcended into that dimension and has never been seen again. Okay, suddenly they were lost. Okay, from human history. Where did they go? Well, what they did is they transcended to an alternate dimension, a universe, reality, if you will, and but universe or dimensions. Okay, and the secret, if you will, of the of transcending these dimensions is through focus, visualization, all right, and manifestation, right? We create what we see. We create it. We reflect it from our minds. What our minds push out there through our one-way eyes, you know, is what we see. So when, interestingly enough, what happened was when Don Juan jumped off the cliff, or Castaneda, which is part of the initiation, all right, into the Toltec mastery, was the jumping off the cliff, okay, dissolving into the air and going into a totally alternate universe. This happened with Castaneda, okay, and he wrote in his book. And in his book, he stated that, you know, he did jump off the cliff with Don Juan and moved and just disappeared. He disappeared for several days. Nobody knew where he went because his body just dissipated. But what happened was is he went into the alternate dimension, right? And this is what Toltec Path prepares us to do. As we discuss, as we've been discussing for the last, George and I and myself solo, we've been discussing ascension consciousness. And essentially what ascension consciousness is the awakening of the mind to the potential, the possibility of being able to jump dimensions, to change your world, okay? But to change it for the better, okay? To change it as a dream world. You can have this, okay? It's no different than what Martin Luther King Jr. said, and I have a dream, you know. Martin Luther King was living in that dream. It was only when he came back to reality that he was assassinated, okay? But when he pushed that movement and when he had these tremendous marches and so on, he was protected. He didn't get hurt. He was a man in front of the world in his own protective state, having his own shields, having his own mastery of the situation, and being able to keep hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people calm during a very, very great period in U.S. history. But this method of mastery of Gandhi or King or Buddha or Jesus or others had such immense intent, okay, power, that it was like trying to hold on to a nuclear bomb. It just can't happen, you know, it's going to blow, you know. And that's what happened to all of these in these religions. These wise men came to earth, got, you know, had visions and channeled, and said, this is my destiny, this is what I have to do, this is what my calling is. And they went out, and they did, town by town, talking about God. And many were channeled. It was a channeled dialogue between them and God, okay, or Jesus, in this case. But we, as human beings, have that ability. It's an inherent ability that we have to communicate with the divine, right? With the divinities, with extraterrestrials, with higher intelligences. And that is us. I mean, that's where we're headed. That's where we are now. But that awakening to that, when the whole world, when everybody in the world throws out the concept of conspiracy theory, you know, forget that, you know, or doubt, and hangs on to something like the purity of a rose, you know, the purity of a flower, the purity of peace, the purity of enlightenment, okay, then we will transcend to the higher level. We will transcend, there's no question about it, as a group, as a country, as a continent, as a world, and we will be away from this third dimensional existence that we have so ravaged, all right, and so raped, and so ruined. And through a brighter vision, another vision of everything being perfect, all right, then, you know, we erase all of the work that was done. We erase all of the evil, bad negativity, and pollution, and everything. Okay, and recreate the world. Recreate it in our image, in our best image, in our positive image. Right? Recreate it in another dimension, or bring the world to that other dimension. You can do that through your mind. And with the legs, tonight's show went very fast. I hope I kept on track with you, but I only had about 28 seconds remaining. But I want to thank you all for listening. And I have George Dixon tomorrow night. We may continue this conversation, but definitely we'll be talking about enlightenment and so on. So I want to thank you all, and I want to wish you the best night, and please join us tomorrow night with George Dixon and Lila.